Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Warrior's Word with Wisconsin Lutheran head football coach Dennis Miller. The Warrior's Word is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Wisconsin Lutheran coach questions about the Warriors, football or sports in general, or just seek Coach Miller's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, the coach talks to us about the disappointing loss from this last weekend and what he expects against Benedictine this weekend. He tells us what he thinks it will take to go from a 500 team to one that is winning the conference. And the coach shares some of his thoughts on faith with us. So let's join the Warriors' Word.
Well, let's welcome back Coach Miller this week. Coach, do you have any team updates for us?
We came out of the game a couple little injuries that are going to set us back a couple of days in practice. But based on our trainer report, I believe that we're going to be ready by Thursday, at least that's the plan, and shouldn't cause anybody to miss any games. So I think we came out of that pretty well.
Well, that's good to hear. Let's talk a little bit about last week's game. In last week's show, we talked about some of the concerns you had about Anthony Reasonover, and it sure looked like those concerns came to fruition for you.
They did. He is, I don't think I'm one for a lot of hyperbole and stuff, but he is far and away the best back that I've seen in our conference since it was formed several years ago. He's a physical player. He's very athletic. I mean, he's hurdling people and doing all kinds of things, and he's just got very good speed. So he's got all the things that you're looking for in a complete running back, and he had a great day on Saturday.
2 weeks ago, your team is down, battle back with a great fourth quarter. This week you were down 34-7 and came back with a great performance where you were within 13 at one point. Your team really has a lot of grit and doesn't seem to be deterred by no matter what the score may be.
I agree with you, and I'm happy about that, and that's what we are building on relative to taking the next step. You know, our game on Saturday was really, I think the end result was the beginning, and we just came out and threw an early interception and gave them a short field, and they scored, and then they scored quickly again, and that kind of doomed us in terms of getting in a hole, but the way we responded coming out of the second half, I was very proud of them. I thought they battled trying to win the football game, not just trying to get through the football game, and that was pretty exciting to watch.
One group we haven't spent a lot of time talking about this season has been your receiving corps, but they had a big afternoon for you on Saturday.
They did have a big afternoon, and they've done a very good job for us throughout the year so far. The nice thing about our receiving corps is we've got a number of players that we think are slot-type players that have a lot of quickness, just real evasive kind of movement. And then we also have some stretch guys that can get downfield, get over the top. And I think if we can just utilize those guys every week and kind of spray the ball around a little bit, I think we're going to be challenging down the road to deal with.
Who were your players of the game from this last weekend?
Our offensive player of the game was one of the receivers you were talking about, Christian Wojak. He had about 120 yards catching and a couple of real big splash plays. And I think the thing that I like best about his play was he had a lot of yards after catch. And that's been a component that we've missed a little bit this year. So that was really positive. And Brandon Morrissey, one of our defensive ends, I thought really battled Reasonover very well, personally a couple of times, but just set the edge really well on his side of the ball and did a nice job. And then our special teams player was Nick Charles Call. We put him back to be our return guy, and he took one back 72 yards and nearly took it to the house. The guy had an angle on him and was able to get him down on about the 12, 15-yard line, something like that. And then he had another return as well, and kind of was a spark plug for our special teams.
This week you take on Benedictine, who's also 1-4 at this point. What are your thoughts on this contest?
Well, they're a historically very good football team. very good football program. They have a new coaching staff, so they've changed some things up, but they're a team to be reckoned with for sure. You know, I actually think we're a very good football team, though our record would not indicate that. And I would say the same thing about Benedictine. They have a winning mentality there, and they do a nice job.
I know you don't want to give away any kind of a game plan, but as you look at their statistics, they're giving up about 230 yards a game in rushing. Is this an area where you feel like you have to attack them because of how they are struggling?
Well, we're certainly going to pick at that. I mean, they've given up a number of yards, and they've played some teams that run the ball quite well, but they've given up a number of yards, so we're certainly going to see if we can do some positive things in that area, and frankly, we need to get our running game going anyway, so this might be a good time to really make some focus on that portion of the game.
Well, let's head to fan questions this week. We start with Jerry, who says, I heard a lot of complaints about the Las Vegas team making the Stanley Cup Finals in their first season and wanted to know if there is some angst about Eureka leading the conference in their first season.
No, not at all. That doesn't even cross my mind. Eureka's a nice football team. I'm not ready to give them the championship yet. There's a lot of football left to be played. But if they're the guys that come out of our league as the champion, based on what I saw on Saturday, they'd be a very worthy representative to the NCAA playoffs.
Next up is Dave, who would like to know, why don't teams play two quarterbacks at the same time? I would think that would really confuse defenses as to which one is going to have the ball.
Yeah, I think it would. That would be confusing. However, you'd probably take another player at a position you probably need out of the mix. And while the deception would probably be really, you know, valuable at times, I'm not sure the cost-benefit there would be worth it.
Next up, we have a couple of questions from Smitty. The first one is, when you enter seasons and you kind of look over the schedule, do you have a sense of where you expect your team to finish in the conference? And if you do, where do you think the team is right now in terms of where you thought they would be?
You know, I think every coach does that. You know, you can't predict, because each season is different and injuries play such a role and so on, but you kind of have an idea of who the stronger teams based on previous years will be and where you stack up in that area. You know, we're 1-1 in the conference. A lot of conference football will be played. We didn't really have an understanding of Eureka at all because we've never played them before, so I wish we were 2-0 or 1-1, but we also have 5 conference games left, so excited about what stands ahead of us.
Smitty would also like to know, what do you feel is needed to move from a team that is 4-6 or 5-5 to one that is 8-2 or even 10-0?
Well, I think the biggest thing you need to do every year is go out and continue to recruit well and continue to bring in outstanding Christian student-athletes to our school that are going to be long-term contributors, so recruiting is a big factor. And then I think we have to improve everything that we're doing and move from that 4-5-5-5 deal to the 8-2 record. I think it's just work and recruiting and scheduling and all those things play a role.
You know, I'm curious about this because I remember a number of years ago I was talking to one of the coaches at Crown College in Minnesota, and one of the things he was saying to me is the big difference is depth. And I'm curious, I don't know exactly how many players are on the Warriors, but is there kind of a magic number that you say to yourself, if we had this many players, we would be a lot more stable or a lot better or something just because we have greater depth?
Well, I think depth is a big deal. Quality depth is a big deal, where you've got players that, you know, are talented players and they maybe even have some game experience and that sort of thing. I think a sweet spot for most college coaches would tell you a sweet spot would be probably around 90 players, because you're always going to have guys injured, and even though there are 90 on the roster, you probably are only practicing with 75 to 80 of them at any given time. And I think you need that many just to be able to practice the way you want to practice and to have the kind of depth you need to spell a guy a series or two here or there. So I think our depth is solid. We're a little over 100 players, and I think we're in a good spot in that regard.
We head to a few NFL questions for you. We start with a couple from Chuck, who would like to know, how improbable do you think it is that a professional kicker, kicking indoors, mind you, would miss 5 field goals? What are the odds of that?
I think it's highly improbable. I think I heard the broadcasters mention that the last time somebody missed 4 in a game was 2010 or 2011 or something like that, and I just don't think that happens, and doesn't happen very often because those guys don't keep their jobs. So I think that was an amazing aberration, if there is such a series of words, I guess.
Not a good one for him. Chuck would also like to know, do you think Aaron Rodgers' constant complaining about play calling may be a sign that his days of being a great one are over and he doesn't want to face that reality?
I think so. Aaron has always kind of been Teflon, it seems like. It's not ever, doesn't stick to him, and it's somebody else's problem. But, I tend to support coaches most of the time, so I think his shots at McCarthy and all that sort of thing I wouldn't appreciate that. I'm sure McCarthy doesn't appreciate it either, and he's just got to play better, I think.
Daryl says, for all you Packer lovers, Bears are number one in the division.
Yes, that is true. That is true.
Rick would like to know, doesn't it make you crazy to watch football analysts after games talk about if this would have happened, the outcome would have likely been different? That didn't happen, and it isn't going to happen, so why discuss what couldn't have even occurred?
I couldn't agree more. I always get a kick out of that. If so-and-so wasn't playing, or if this guy was playing, well, how are we ever going to know? And they're not playing, so that was the outcome.
Plus, you're getting paid a lot of money to make crazy stories like
right.
that, I guess.
Right.
Ty would like to know, are little white lies to avoid hurting people's feelings acceptable?
Oh, I think sometimes they are, yeah. I mean, if somebody asked me, do I look nice in this dress, and I might really think, no, you don't, but what's the purpose of saying, yeah, you look terrible? And yeah, I think there's times where you can spare somebody's feelings. It's not damaging anyone else. And I think there's times they're okay.
Sean says, Coach, I decided to ask meaningful questions each week. So what is the meaning of life? No pressure.
That's a big one. Yeah, no pressure. Yeah. I'll defer. I'll wait. I'll think about that for a week or so.
Brad would like to know, what are your thoughts on what it means to be a child of God?
I think if you're a child of God, you lead all parts of your life with an acknowledgement and understanding that you're trying to follow God's will. You're trying to do what God would want you to do, and live the right kind of way, and be a servant leader and all those things. I think people like to compartmentalize it too much, and it's not just what you do on Sunday. It's just kind of how you live your life day by day.
Brad would also like to know, how did your personal faith in God develop, if you don't mind sharing?
I don't mind sharing, but I don't have any mountaintop experience. I grew up in a Christian family. The Lord was something we talked about, and we went to church regularly and all those sorts of things. So I think it's just been a part of who I am and who I've been around most of my life.
Taylor would like to know, why is it that it seems that people only want to come close to God when things are going bad?
Well, there's that foxhole mentality, I think, that saying there are no atheists in foxhole, people sometimes turn to God because they look at it like, you know, a rabbit's foot or something like that, like I have nothing to lose. But I think it's more that than anything else, in that, you know, maybe they realize at some point in time there is a greater purpose, and there is a ultimate person in charge, and they look that direction.
And we close this week with, what is the coach praising the Lord about?
You know, I really appreciate this little segment, because every weekend it makes me consciously think of what am I praising the Lord about. And today it just struck me. My wife gets to babysit my grandson twice a week. My daughter drops him off every morning or twice a week, and I try to stay around just long enough so I can see him in the morning. And I got to tell you, that is one of the highlights of my life, is to see him. He's about 16, 17 months old, and doing what 16, 17-month-old kids do. And I'm definitely praising the Lord for JD today.
That is excellent. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
Thanks, Rob. Have a great week.
We want to thank Coach Miller for joining us on The Warrior's Word this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Wisconsin Lutheran coach, please send them to us at DennisMiller@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's DennisMiller@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Monday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on The Warrior's Word.